which ain't had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy.
Welcome to Carnivore Theology, a podcast that answers questions about the Christian faith to help you grow from milk to meat into wise, skilled, world-changing followers of Jesus Christ. With theologian and pastor Chad Graham, author and pastor Al Desjardins, and me, your host, Steve Bastian. Today, we respond to the growing demands from popular culture telling Christians what they are and are not. We're actually hanging out here at the Webby's, right?
Webby's!
Yes.
Is that a place you hang out?
Well,
that is a place, right?
Yeah. We're virtually hanging out at the Webby's. We're hoping that Carnivore Theology is nominated for something. Yes, hopefully not the worst podcast of the year.
No. How about grumpiest co-host? For sure.
I'd be okay with worst podcast of the year as long as we won it. I mean, just to be a winner.
That'd be something, right? We'd get a mention on something, anything.
I'm a winner!
All right. Yeah. So pass the web juice, and we'll all have a big slug. And then we will get into this. So, honestly, if we're at the Webby's, we should start watching some internet videos to see what other people are doing.
Hmm. Yep. Good idea.
There's a video out there that you guys should have a listen to. It's from BuzzFeed Yellow, and it talks a little bit about what Christians are and what Christians are not. Let's listen to this video.
So, I want to start by saying that I can appreciate the reasons that people would want to do a video like this, okay? So BuzzFeed did this because they want hits. So let's not start off by letting people assume that we're just going to bash this thing to death. That's not the plan. The plan is to react to it.
You haven't even showed us the video yet.
I know. Okay. So I know. Okay. So just so you know, everybody who's watching, we're not here to get grumpy.
I am.
So let's see. Okay. Well, okay. I'm not for a change.
Let's see. How many views does this have? It has
almost a million.
Almost a million views. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So here we go. Are we ready?
I'm Christian, but I'm not homophobic.
I'm Christian, and I'm definitely not perfect.
I'm Christian, but I'm not closed-minded.
But I'm not unaccepting.
But I'm not uneducated.
But I am not judgmental.
But I'm not conservative.
I'm not ignorant.
But I don't place myself on a pedestal.
I'm Christian, but I don't have all the answers.
Okay, stop it there.
All right, yeah, we should stop it there. Let's talk about that a little bit.
I mean, a good chunk of those statements, I found myself saying, yeah, I could agree with a good chunk of those statements, but not all of them.
Okay, well, let me do a quick intro on this, just so everybody knows what we're talking about. So, as you said, this is BuzzFeed Yellow. Mm-hmm. They're doing a series of these. They've done, I'm trans, but I'm not. I'm Muslim. I'm Latino. I'm Asian. I'm fat. And most recently, just yesterday, they did, I'm Muslim. If there's an undercurrent to these videos, it's basically, and let me put my positive spin hat on instead of being Captain Grumpy for a change.
Do you have that hat?
That BuzzFeed wants to do here is to break some stereotypes, shut up the haters, put a face on groups that are normally misunderstood. I think it's pretty cool that they would do a I'm Christian but I'm not within the first few videos. Mm. But again, so if I'm putting a positive spin on this, it shows respect for the culture that we see that is increasingly post-Christian, and they're seeing Christians be misunderstood as a potential target for hatred. So that could be a good thing, okay?
So next time, can they do, I'm L, but I'm not?
That would be longer than 2 minutes, okay, to deal with all of my contradictions. Okay, but now let's go to the other side, though. Let's talk about the negative aspect. So BuzzFeed is a huge evil company that cares only about hits and money and steering today's youth towards their extreme leftist agenda.
Oh.
Okay, so there's that. The truth is probably somewhere in the middle behind the motivation of this video. What they're doing is what they're good at. They get hits. They take a topic that people are interested in, and they generate a pile of words on screen that sounds right, makes a bit of sense, but is actually a total misrepresentation and simplification of the truth. So there could be a dark side to this, that they're just watering it down.
Where do these videos come from? Is there a like a YouTube channel or something, or what do they
do? Well, the BuzzFeed is a huge, it's a multi-million dollar, $1.5 billion company by some estimates, and they have three different channels, BuzzFeed Videos, BuzzFeed Yellow, BuzzFeed Blue, BuzzFeed Purple, I think, is the other one. They do all sorts of different topics, just everything, and they don't really care as long as they get hits. Positive or negative, they don't care. All they're trying to get is attention. And that's what the internet does. It's what it's best for. That's what these videos are good at.
So it's a multimedia feed system.
It is. It really is. This video is all these things. It is celebrity. It is peanut butter. It is sexuality, religion, pop culture, wine. It hits all the big topics in 2 minutes. So yeah, it's going to be a click monster. All right. So I guess our question today, and we can react to this first part here, of this first 23 seconds of the video, Chad. Like, what are we talking about here? I got what I want to say, but I've talked a whole bunch.
Find it a little bit interesting. I would think pretty much everything I heard are the common negative stereotypes of Christians. That's and the language I found very emotionally charged. Just to pick out two or three words, the idea of homophobic. Homophobic, everybody knows but doesn't really know, right? It's a word that means that out of fear of the unknown regarding homosexuals, I act in ways that are derogatory and oppressive. So homophobia is a very negative connotated word. To say closed-minded. Of course, if you're open-minded, that everything just falls out, so I'm not sure how that's an advantage. But anyway, closed-minded is someone who won't listen to new ideas, who's finished their grade 6 education at some Southern fundamentalist King James-only school, and will never... You know, that's the idea behind all these things. And so I think it's really interesting when they're bringing them up to note the huge emotional charge in there, and it really makes me think that so many people have noted, we're not really in any kind of an argument with this particular segment of the video. All they're showing is that humans are not primarily thinking creatures, but feeling creatures. So what happens is that we have a gut reaction to everything that happens to us. And now we can condition that by our education and by circumstances and discipline and all that sort of thing. But we're motivated primarily by our gut reaction. And so to be homophobic would be to have a gut reaction towards homosexuals that is very negative. This video is a gut reaction to stereotypes about Christianity. It's not really arguing any kind of case. All they're saying is, don't judge me.
Well, and they're only trying to do it in 2 minutes, right? So they go find a tribe, and this is what they used to call in my old sociology class. You used to call it a tribe. Everybody wants to find their tribe. And that way means you belong to it, and they love you, and you love them. And the thing about being part of a tribe is that one of the ways that you kind of cloister together is you look at other tribes, and you go, well, they're bad tribes, we're good tribes. And so everybody starts fighting, right? So,
and what's my tribe look like?
Yeah, exactly. So there are actually homophobic, judgmental, closed-minded, holier-than-thou Christians. And so they've kind of done a bad steer for us. And so that's, I think you're exactly right. That's how they kick it off. They're like, okay, hold on a second. All the very worst things you think about us, don't think that. But sorry, go ahead, Steve.
I was going to say, they're very much trying to dispel the stereotype that some of the media is presenting about Christians.
Everything would have to be defined, of course. But I mean, just on, and I know, because they're liberal, I guess, from what you've told me, I know where they're going. But the whole point of this is just to say, this is the way we're feeling, and this is the way you're feeling, and let's not kind of hate on one another.
But that's what I want to grab onto just at the very beginning, is that idea of those words. So here's the thing. We got to be so careful how we use these terms. So the question is, are Christians homophobic? You already said, you know, like, what does that term actually mean? Does it mean that we're literally afraid of homosexuals? No, we're not afraid of gay people. Now, here's a question. Like, are Christians concerned or a little bit nervous about the rise of erotic liberty, the destruction of the traditional family, living in a culture that is becoming increasingly anti-Christian very rapidly? Yeah, we're a little nervous about that. You know what I mean? But that doesn't make us homophobic. It just makes us nervous about culture, right? So we're not afraid. So let's grab a couple other phrases they use, like judgmental or unaccepting. Culture says those are bad words. Those are that's like the F-bomb equivalent of dropping an F-bomb in church, is trying to be intolerant somewhere or calling someone judgmental. So are those bad words? Everybody, here's the thing. You already have your mind exploded. Everybody is judgmental and everybody is unaccepting of something. If if you have a baby.
I'm sorry, Al, I can't accept that and I judge your concept.
If you have a baby and you want to turn it over to somebody, you're going to be very judgmental and very unaccepting of a whole bunch of people that you give your, that you're thinking about giving your baby to. If you're, if you want an employee or you want someone to fix your car or you're going to vote for a politician, you're going to get plenty judgmental and plenty unaccepting. Those aren't bad words. My hope, if they would have said, I'm a Christian, but we're not cruel, we're not mindless, we judge by biblical standards, we accept everyone like Jesus, but we don't accept sin, that, I think that's a better way.
Yeah.
But as we'll talk about in a minute, these are some pretty young people. So
no,
do you want to go to the next section?
Let's go to the next section.
All right, let's try again.
It's a little bit longer.
But I am accepting.
But I am queer.
I am gay.
But I am a feminist.
A feminist.
Definitely am a feminist.
But I do believe in science. In fact, I think science makes God look really cool.
I'm not afraid to talk about sex.
I love me some Beyonce.
But I love wine.
I do believe in monogamy before sex. But I will give you sex advice if you need it.
But I do go to church on Sundays.
I was a Young Life camp counselor.
I do listen to Christian music. Christian rock, Christian rap, T-Mac, all the cool kids.
I have friends from all walks of life and different religions.
And I love them all.
Okay. So
I think this is the part where Chad starts having a problem with this video.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, let's direct this over to Chad. Chad, how do you comment? What's your first response to this section of the video?
No, you know what? I made an offhand comment earlier about the idea that this really shows that we're feeling people rather than thinking people first. That's not derogatory of thinking or saying that humans don't think, but we respond always on our gut level, and then we condition that perhaps by our thinking. One of the things that we really see in here is identity culture. I'm Christian. Okay, you talk about being in a tribe, but then they've added these other key identities. I'm accepting, yep. I'm queer, I'm a feminist, I'm gay. I think that's really fascinating. Augustine, in the 4th century, wrote a huge book called The City of God. And in it, his fundamental argument is that in this world, there are two cities formed by two loves. The first, by the love of God, and the second, by the love of self. And these two cities are completely incompatible. I think, regardless of some of the specific arguments that one might have on any particular category in here, this is actually expressing the city of man. This is expressing self-love. This is my self-identity. And as Christians, actually as human beings, our identity is rooted in our being in the image of God. That's really who we are. Other things we do might be expressions of things we enjoy, but they're not who we are.
Well, and that's what I wanted to get really clear, is this idea that, like, the whole video is titled "I'm Christian, but." So, what are you saying is a Christian? Like, with that, we haven't even defined that term yet. Yeah. Like, so if you go to gotquestions.org, they actually have a really good definition. It's a really good little article. What is a Christian? But basically, the idea is a Christian is a follower of Christ, and we blossom that out. It means we conform to the pattern of thinking, activity, and speech and behavior of Jesus. So if a Christian thinks and acts like Jesus, then we need to know what Jesus thinks about these topics. And a Christian believes what the Bible says, because that's what Jesus thinks about these topics and how they would act. So again, just to your point, is that you can't be both.
Mm.
You can't be an ism and a Christian, right? So let me put on my positivity hat for a second here. Right, and actually, because it doesn't fit really well, so I have to take it off now and again.
It's getting the most use I've seen it use in months.
I know, I'm getting a bruise. It's not really, okay.
No calluses there, you gotta build those up.
So, okay, that let's say these young people are Christians, that they love Jesus and they love going to church. They're working hard to follow Jesus in the area of love and serving people and accepting them in their sinful state. And especially as a reaction to all the judgmental weirdos that they've maybe come across in their life. I can sympathize with that. Some Christians are jerks and they don't get love. They just don't. So I appreciate that vibe throughout the video. The young lady that says, I have friends from all walks of life and religions and I love them all. Right on. Go, that's good. Go, excellent. However, it kind of goes sideways. So can a Christian be engaged with culture and science? Chad?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Absolutely. Can a self-professing Christian, someone who's committed their life in following and thinking and acting like Jesus, say, I am...
a Christian scientist, for example.
Can you say, I am something that contradicts with the Bible?
No, obviously not.
No. Can you say, I am proud of doing something that goes against God's word?
Well, you can say it. Christian.
Yeah, it's they're incongruous, exactly. Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I think the confusion for these guys lie. I mean, you mentioned that they're young and so on, so there's some of that going on. But this generation that has been raised in the way that it has, those values that they're speaking about, especially love me some Beyonce, that was my favorite line. But those are the values. Beyonce, celebrity culture is what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. They love popular celebrity culture. They love to talk about sex. They love wine. Now, there's nothing wrong, of course, with appreciating some of the things that are part of this world in the sense that there's beauty in nature, beauty in music, and so on, activities, fun, games, people. But the way they're expressing it is, again, going back to their very identity. And it reminds me of like Galatians 2:20, where Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Therefore, the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me.
Well, and he goes past that because he talks about dying. Like, you die to yourself, you rise in Christ, you kill the old man, you rise to a new man, you take off the old flesh, you add to yourself a new... Like, it's literally, it's a full transition.
And I think what this is doing is literally going backwards. It's saying, I identify as queer, and I'm a Christian. So, Christians aren't all that weird. We're exactly like the world, and therein lies the problem. What happens in the rest of the video?
Yeah, well...
The feminism thing, it kind of... That one bugged me, because... And again, we come back to terms, right? So if you think feminism means equal rights and dignity for men and women...
Good.
Great. I'm on board too. Absolutely wonderful. But if for you, feminism means abortion at any cost, demeaning marriage, opposing biblical roles of husbands and wives, and promoting lesbianism, then you can't be both of those things.
I'm not as a fan of that version.
Right? Not. Yeah, exactly. Right? So let's define our terms. Which you can't do in a 2-minute video. I totally get that. Yeah. But so let's give these kids the benefit of the doubt and go, okay, that maybe they believe the first one. It's just that based on what I know about culture and what I know about liberal Christianity, maybe they don't. It's hard.
Well, I think the rest of the context tells you what version they mean because they're talking about being gay.
Yeah.
It's the same individuals. Well,
let's play the next section. It's called What Do You Want People to Know About Christianity? So,
I like this section.
This should answer questions there, Chad.
I guess what I'd like people to know about Christianity today is that we're all kind of not crazy.
We shouldn't be judged on just the people that you see in the media or just the people that you've met in your everyday life. Every Christian is different and we deserve a chance to explain ourselves.
A lot of people think that Christianity ruins people, but to me, I think it's people that are ruining Christianity. You never really see the good that happens. You only see the hypocrites and the people who put themselves on a higher pedestal.
But at its core, it really is about love and acceptance and being a good neighbor.
Just because we prescribe to a faith that has some really terrible people in it doesn't make all of us terrible.
I don't think that Christians should judge people for who they are and what they do. I think everybody is in a different part of life, on their own path to wherever they're trying to go. We're all people, and I think love is the most important thing.
Wow. That's insightful, isn't it?
There was a lot of good there. I love that part. I really do. I like a lot of it. I don't agree with all of it, but I like a lot of it.
There's huge sections that I definitely say, I think that they're nailing parts of this, like the hammer on the nail.
But is this what you want people to know about Christianity?
And that's exactly. You know, like when she says, at its core, Christianity is about love and acceptance of being a good neighbor, I'm like, no, it's not.
What if you mean Christianity at its core is about love for God and his law, acceptance of his kingdom and his righteousness, and the lordship of Jesus Christ? So if we mean love and acceptance in that way, then it's perfectly right. And what, of course, is being a good neighbor except for to live those ways and share those ways with your neighbor?
If when she said the word core, if she said, I express my Christianity through these things, I'd have been right on board, because she just jumped straight to moralism, right? Like, no, the core is about knowing we are sinners, condemned to hell, we need God's son, Jesus Christ, to save us because we can't save ourselves. There's your core. Boom, we got the core. Now, let's talk about how we're going to love and how we're going to accept and who we're going to accept and how to be a good neighbor. Absolutely. Excellent section. You can hear a lot of fear.
Yeah.
I think you hear a lot of fear in their voice because, you know, like, chances are they're going to a secular college. They're trying to go into a secular world. They're living, some of them living as homosexuals, but trying to reconcile that with a Christian faith.
That should be challenging.
There's a lot going on there. Like you said, emotionally, a lot of feelings. And you can see in their eyes a lot of... I think a lot of fear, or please accept me, please don't reject me. I believe this very much, so please don't hurt me. And I think they've been hurt.
I'd see that as uncertainty. There's a lot of uncertainty around where they're at.
But I think this is really, really coming down to, we're seeing in here, these people's deep-seated desire for acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
We see this passion for the tribe of community of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying people think Christianity ruins people, but it's people who ruin Christianity, or however she phrased it. And, you know, she's talking about we see the hypocrites and so on. Mm-hmm. And she's absolutely right on those things. That does happen. Unfortunately, I think these folks end up actually being some of the hypocrites, because literally they say they're Christians but don't do what Jesus says. They say, I'm a Christian, mm-hmm. but they walk in darkness, which 1 John says makes them liars. So now, we don't want to necessarily judge the individual hearts, because I don't know these people.
We don't know these people.
But from all the fruit they showed in this short video, they give every appearance of not being Christians while claiming to be Christians. And I love the line, I don't think Christians should judge people for who they are or what they do.
Yeah.
Does that mean pedos are okay?
Yeah.
We had in Alberta this today, in fact, unfortunately, we just heard the bad news. We had a father who was murdered, and an Amber Alert went out in a search for his 2-year-old daughter, and her remains were found today. It's a very tragic, sad thing. We have the killer or suspect in custody. Should we not judge him for what he has done?
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's nonsensical language.
It is nonsensical. But the thing is, I want to go back to your word acceptance, right? They're terrified of not being accepted. We all know that from our youth. We all know that going through high school. You're just desperate to be accepted for who you are. And they're still in that phase of life. And a more mature person thinks, who do I want to be accepted by?
Yeah. And who is that, L? What's the right answer?
The right answer is, I want to be accepted by Chad.
Yes! Amen!
No, I mean God.
Oh.
I want to be accepted by God. That's the most important thing, right? So,
and those aren't exactly the same.
What am I willing to sell out
to
be able to get accepted by God? What am I willing to give up?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, if your standard is, I want to be accepted by my friends, I want to be accepted by culture, by celebrity culture, by whatever that, then you're going to miss the mark when it comes to what God's standards are, and you will not be accepted by Him.
I think what we're describing is moral relativism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The morality around what they see as what a Christian is relative to where they are at.
Yeah.
Instead of looking at what we have laid out with God and what Jesus taught us.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And at the core, it's again, there's two cities formed by two loves. One by the love of God, one by the love of self. Their love for self and self-acceptance is superior in their minds to their love for God. They would probably argue that if you talk to them, but it's really quite clear that that's what's going on, because Jesus says, if you love me, you'll do what I say. And if we're going to win people like this, we're not going to win by saying, oh, no, you should be judgmental. What we need to do is show them that their identity in God is greater than any identity they can have in this world. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That is, without trusting God, it's impossible to please Him. So the real question is, do you trust God? And then the rest of that verse says, if anyone would draw near to Him, they have to believe that God exists and that He is the rewarder of all those who diligently seek Him.
But we got to make sure that we're not conforming them to our image of Christianity. We're conforming them to Jesus.
Yep.
We're conforming them to His picture, not us. So when they say, I want to drink wine, you know, and the Baptists have a conniption fit, let's make sure that we actually have a verse behind that. What did Jesus think? Yeah. When they say, I want to do this, I want to go with my friend, I want to be this as a job and a position, I want to go to this school, you know, we can't just throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, no, you have to conform to my version of Christianity. We you have to say, no, you have to conform to the image of Christ and what would he do?
Yeah. See, and I think I'm even backing up one more step from that. You're entirely correct, of course. And it's a totally appropriate if someone says, what does the Bible say about homosexuality to tell them?
Chad said Al's right. But, I heard it here. I think he just fell out of his chair.
But Al, you could go deeper one step. We're not really, in fact, use the wine example. It's almost next to irrelevant to have a discussion about wine with that person.
Hmm.
What the discussion really is do you trust God or not? Do you want the reward that only God can offer or not? And here is the picture of what God can offer. Now, the condition of that is by trusting him and doing things his way. So let's take all of life, what we eat, what we drink, what we wear, who we say our identity is, and let's trust God about what our identity is. And we do that by first recognizing our identity is that we're sinners. We're sinners in need of a Savior. And all of our ideas, all the things we cling to, and all of our identities now, all of them are at least skewed and potentially flat out wrong.
Right.
So we need Christ. And when we gain Christ through faith, the one who died for us and rose again to reconcile us to God, that's our new identity, because that is such a big deal. Our guilt is gone. Our past is gone. Our struggles are gone in the sense of our relationship to God. And then we begin to gain those rewards that God promises for all those who diligently seek him. Peace, joy, love, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control are all given to us by the Holy Spirit.
But again, Chad, I want to make sure that, the expression of this is really understood.
Mm-hmm.
That idea of when they look at who Jesus is, what would Jesus say?
Yeah.
Jesus wasn't a Baptist. He wasn't a teetotaler. He wasn't a Republican. He didn't
What Bible are you reading?
So, I mean, we got to be real careful here going, okay, which image of Christ are we conforming to? Right?
Yeah, that's a discipleship question.
Yeah.
Certainly okay to call people on their sins, of course, and sometimes that's a way to show them their need for Christ. But what I'm saying is, those discussions with these individuals are kind of a waste of time. They've already rejected them. They're not Christians. They need the gospel, and they need to have their identity in Christ.
Right. Agreed.
You can explain then in fullness, and that's what I was getting at. Then exactly.
No, I agree with you 100%.
Here's
I just want to make sure that we get both sides. Yeah.
Here's what Christ says. Here's what it looks like to have your identity in Christ. So if you're going to trust him, it's going to mean some radical changes for your identity.
Quick, Steve, wrap us up for the love of Mike. We've agreed. Hurry up.
We've agreed. The Al and Chad have agreed. Therefore, it is now written in stone.
It can only go down from here.
This has been Carnivore Theology with Chad, Al, and Steve. Thank you for listening today as we responded to the BuzzFeed Yellow video. To find out more about Carnivore Theology, or if you have any other topics or questions you want us to cover on upcoming episodes, let us know by visiting us on our website, www.carnivoretheology.com, or leaving a message on our SpeakPipe page, speakpipe.com/carnivoretheology. If you like what we're doing, please like us on Facebook, rate and subscribe to us on iTunes, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. We encourage you to connect with your local biblical church and keep your eyes on the cross.
Welcome to Carnivore Theology, a podcast that answers questions about the Christian faith to help you grow from milk to meat into a wise, skilled, world-changing followers of Jesus Christ. I got that right, guys.
Steve's been practicing.
Today, we respond to the growing demands from popular culture telling Christians what they are and are not.
Do we? All right, Red.
We are? What?
Since when?
I thought we were talking about the global banana crisis.
Oh, man. Here, I thought we were talking about that poor kid that brought a clock to school and ended up arrested.
That is unwise.
This video is all these things. It is celebrity, it is peanut butter, it is sexuality, religion, pop culture, wine. It hits all the big topics in 2 minutes. So yeah, it's going to be a click monster.
Yeah.
Peanut butter?
Yeah, I was wondering how the peanut butter got on that list.
That was on my notes, and I don't know why I wrote that there.
I'm allergic to peanut butter, but...
Hey, Chad, did you actually read The City of God, the entire, 1,500-page, bigger-than-the-Bible version?
You haven't?
No, actually, I want to get it on audiobook, but I'm scared to.
In all seriousness, it's a really good read and really worth reading. I would say for anybody listening,
Are we done? Are we still doing this?
Give this, because this is, I think, a relevant resource. The first third of the City of God is so directly interacting with the minutiae of first century Greco-Roman religious culture that it's probably extremely tough for a 21st century Christian who's not specializedly educated to really get into it. The final two-thirds anybody could read. So you might want to find an introduction to it that helps you to navigate what's going on in the beginning. There are annotated copies and so on.
I love introductions to things. Those are the best.
It's, what, 40-some hours long in audiobook, I believe? So I'm a little scared to use my Audible account to get that.
But honestly, it's a really good resource.